Om Shanti. This forenoon I was asked to share my understanding with you of the process of transformation, self-transformation, with special reference to our deep-rooted sanskaras. The sanskaras which we find are difficult to transform or change. What is the method? What is the mechanism? How to achieve this task? Because this university is giving the spiritual education with one of the major aims being that we have to become divine or spiritualized or purified, which is what transformation is. So I thought that we need to understand in the first instance not only what transformation in real term is, so that we may be able to take notice of the fact whether transformation is really taking place and at what levels, and we may also understand what are the factors which facilitate this task and what are the factors which oppose, which work as resistance, so that we devise some ways whereby we can overcome that resistance and go ahead. Now, with this aim, in order that I may first of all be clear in my own mind, all of us are changing. The process of transformation through Baba's Murlis, through following of his Shrimat, through trying our efforts to become like Baba, we are all changing. The process of transformation is no doubt taking place, sometimes visibly and sometimes subliminally. We may not be aware of it. But this is what brings to us the happiness and brings us to this institution. So there is no doubt that the process is taking place. It may be taking place speedily or to our satisfaction, or we may think that we are not making good progress in this direction. But what are the factors that are working? If we are aware of them, then we may be able to make use of them at will. We may try to employ them to make this process speedier. So I jotted down some of the factors which to my mind are important. But before that, I thought that we should first of all know as to how the sanskaras are influencing our whole self. When, for example, I tell a person that by coming to this university, I have been able to know in the first instance what my real identity is, so that I say that I am a soul, a self-luminous point, a point of light, sanskaras included. Now, how are the sanskaras playing their part? To what extent? In what ways? At what levels? How they are influencing me? In what ways? So, I thought that first of all, I start with this. How the sanskaras influence? At what levels they influence? Now, in the first instance, it came to my mind that they influence our interests, our motivation, our choice. This is how the whole thing begins. If our sanskaras are good, we are interested in good things. We want to become good, we want to become divinized, we want to become spiritual. They help us in this direction. They motivate us. There may be many choices before us and we choose to become spiritualized, to be purified. So, one of the major areas which is being influenced by sanskaras is our interest. There is no human being without any interest. Only a dead log of wood may be without any interest. Living beings always have some interest. When you ask a person to come to a function this evening, the person says, I am not interested. You see. Or if he is interested, you need not persuade him much, he would certainly come. So what brings him to your function, to your program? His interest. In the story of Mahabharata, there is a character known as Duryodhana, one of the major actors in that drama, the story. You know, very much this knowledge dwells on Mahabharata. We are Pandavas, we are in Pandav Bhavan. And the opposite of the Pandavas was the Kauravas, that violent army, they say. In that story, there is a character, Duryodhana, who is the major devil among them all. You know, in a drama, there is a hero and there is a devil. He is the devil, Duryodhana. And at one of the points in that story of Mahabharata, Duryodhana says, I know what is morality, what is not morality, what is immorality, what is amorality. It's not that I don't know, but I am not interested in morality. My problem is, I am not having any kind of inclination to be moral, to be that way. People are giving him discourses, his masters, his teachers. Duryodhana, you should not act this way. You are doing something wrong. He says, I know. It's not that I don't know. I am not ignorant. But I don't know what is the reason. There is something in me which does not motivate me that way. I am not interested. That is my problem. So unless and until we first of all understand the problem or the question, we cannot solve it. First of all, we must understand the question, the problem. Whenever a person nowadays does a research, he has first of all to confront himself what the problem is for which he is going to research. And in what way it will benefit? His research will be of use in which field? In what way? Because he will be spending human energy and money and so on. In what way it will be of benefit? So one of the reasons for changing our sanskaras is that unless and until we change our bad sanskaras into good, we will not be interested in things which will elevate us, which will ennoble us, which will give us bliss, happiness, peace. And when some people say we are not interested, that in itself shows that they are being influenced by their sanskaras. There is something which has happened in their life in the past, which has given them some deep impression in their mind. Religion is a bad thing. Religious priests, teachers, preachers are not good people. They are hypocrites. There is something, some idea in the mind which does not make that person interested in what you are saying. So one of the things we find the sanskaras influence in almost the whole of our life, every person in fact, is the interest, the motivation. Motivation is the major factor for action. Without motivation, there cannot be action. You cannot separate these two. There cannot be any action without any motive or motivation. And you cannot change your behavior, your actions, your thought, your speech, unless and until you first change this, which it is the resource. It is from here that it is coming out. You must strike at the root, first of all. So the sanskaras are first of all influencing our motivation, our interest, our choice, and what I may say, our will. Every soul has a will. This is a sign of the soul. If there is consciousness, one of the major characteristics of consciousness is it has a will. Some people say we have a free will, others say no, there is deterministic world, we don't have a free will. Okay, but that is a separate controversy, but there is no denying the fact that each one of us has a will. Without will, we could not act. And it is here that the sanskaras influence us. Now, when we want to do any action, we have first to will to do action. If we are unwilling, we are not like stones that somebody will pick us up and throw away or do with us. We as human beings, as conscient persons, have to act on our own. And it is the will which will enable us to become. So if we are not willing to become something, how can we become something? So this is something which is working as a resistance. Like they say in physics, everything lies to stay in a state unless and until it is moved by an external factor, by an external force. Now this is the first force which must move, so that other things begin to move. And we cannot therefore wish to become what we cannot become what we wish to become. It is because first of all we don't wish to become. They say you can make a horse to drink water, you can take a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. Similarly, you cannot give spiritual, because I am discussing it with two ideas in my mind. First is to bring transformation in ourselves. The other is to bring transformation in others. Because each one of us is supposed to do service to others. What do we mean by service? Service is mainly transformation. From Kaliyuga to Satyuga. From Iron Age to Golden Age. From Tamapradhan to Satapradhan. From evil to virtue. So if that is what transformation is, and we are hands of Baba, we are supposed to do this kind of service. Therefore, we also have to be aware why something is not working. We are trying to transform some person. But no transformation is taking place despite best of our efforts and the efforts of that person. There must be something wrong. So maybe that it is because of this. The person is not inclined, has no wish, no desire. He has no motive. You know, we have a sculptor here outside, and what we find is that there are senses shown as horses, and on the horses is riding a person, and the person is driving those senses. We say this is the consciousness, the conscient person, the soul, and all the we say that it is the mind which uses all these senses. And we have to have the bridles so that we keep them under our control. So, the man is riding the horses. Or you can say the mind is riding the horses. But on the mind, this sanskara is riding that person. On the back of the horses is the mind. And on the back of the mind is the sanskara. That we perhaps forget. The sanskara it is which is controlling the mind, which again is controlling the senses. If you want the senses to be on the proper path, you cannot. Unless and until the person who is riding, the force which is riding on the mind, that in itself also has been changed. It has become sublime. So that is where the transformation is necessary. When we say, I don't like this, I like this. Our likes and dislikes, this is what I am saying by our interest. Very often we will say, I don't like to do this. Or I would say, I would like to have this. What does it mean? It is actually my sanskara, which is expressing itself in the form of likes and dislikes. Now because of this, these different interests, motivations, choices, will, or likes and dislikes, we are working as a split personality. We are very often working as two persons in one body. Part of our mind sometimes likes something and the other part of it does not like. People say there are perhaps two halves of the brain, the right brain, the left brain. Right brain is saying something, left brain, the left hemisphere is saying another thing. The psychologists, the psychiatrists, they may say that I have a split personality. But actually what is happening is that this sanskara is splitting me into two halves. Maybe one half is perhaps sometimes more powerful, more forceful than the other half. It may be dominating. They say the left is perhaps dominating half part of the brain, but whatever. Now, this is what gives us the split personality. And I want to say that in this respect, taken in this light, the sanskaras are like our psychological genes. They are like our moral and spiritual genes. Like they say, our genetic inheritance determines the colors of the pupils of our eye, our skin, our hair, our figures, our features, our physiology, our physical constitution, and all what goes with it. I would say that these sanskaras are what they are working like genes, in the sense, in the first instance, creating our interests, likes, dislikes, hatreds. And inclinations and so on. Physiologists say that in every human cell or in every living cell, there is energy being produced. They call it that part as the mitochondria, which produces the energy so that you are physically vibrant, you can work. Now, the sanskaras also do this, like chromosomes, like also the mitochondria. Either they are giving you the energy for certain kinds of action, or they become the depression, the depletion. They are either inhibiting you, or they are accelerating you, facilitating you, changing you. So, unless and until some people feel that there is low energy in them, no stamina, that what happens with AIDS? They have low, immunity sort of thing. That kind of syndrome. Same helps when this happens. You may try your best to persuade a person that Kali Yuga is ending, Satyuga is coming. Dear brother, dear sister, now work for a change. Try to change your nature and so on. But nothing is happening, nothing is moving. No effect on the person, it is because not interested. Or you can say they are like the visa granting embassies. You could not come to India unless and until you got the visa. The first requirement was that you get a visa. Then you could enter the land called Bharat or India. Similarly, unless and until the interest is there, you cannot be a spiritual person, you cannot be a yogi, you cannot transform itself. So like changing your likes and dislikes or choices or will is like obtaining the visa for your spiritual transformation. So the process of transformation will not take place. Your journey will not start on your path towards this goal of transformation unless and until you first of all obtain the visa or the ticket, you can say. Why I am giving all these metaphors and these similarities and parallels? Because we must first of all understand the importance of it. Unless and until we understand the importance or the urgency of the task, how important it is, we are non-serious. We don't work for it, make sincere efforts for it. Then how can we achieve it? So we must first of all understand what, we must have a clear picture as to what it is. Some people say we are on the horns of a dilemma. This is what creates the dilemma. Because you are interested, you are not interested. Sometimes you like, sometimes you don't like. You are not able to make up your mind and decide what to do, what not to do. To be or not to be, they say, is the question. And this arises from this. And when I say that it gives you a split personality or a dual personality, I think this is mainly responsible for hypocrisy. Almost all of the humankind is hypocrite, to an extent. We are all wearing masks because there are certain things which we find social approval. There are others which don't find any social approval. And all of us have some negative sanskaras. We want to hide them so that people are not aware that we are bad inside, that we have a dark side of us. And therefore outwardly we would try to show the opposite. Because we know that if we are wearing a sorrow face, people will come and say, what happened? Why you feel depressed today? So therefore outwardly we say, Om Shanti. Inwardly there may be a struggle going on. But I just say, Om Shanti, just to hide. So that I don't want to reveal it, you see. Why? Because this rift is going on, my sanskaras are pulling me in one direction. My wishes, my other things, my motivation, other kind of motivation, wants me to be happy. I want to be happy. But there is something which is pulling me in the opposite direction. Inside a struggle is going on. A Mahabharata is taking place inside. In the mind, in the Kurukshetra of our mind. And the Arjuna is giving up his bows and arrows and says, I will not fight. So, that kind of thing is going on sometimes because of this. And many Murlis of Baba deal with albelapan, carelessness. Carelessness is our major enemy. Baba says, no one is your enemy. But then he says, carelessness is your enemy number one. Because you cannot make your efforts unless and until you are careful. You feel concerned. You are serious. You think this is something which must be done. So carelessness is what kills our energy, stamina, our enthusiasm, our effort, our sincere efforts. And I think it is lack of interest, lack of will, lack of motivation which leads us to carelessness. Carelessness is the outer symptom, but underneath it the disease is the lack of interest. You don't feel hungry, you don't feel thirsty, how can you eat? You don't want any food for thought, any spiritual food, because you are not feeling for it. So if we just remove the influence of sanskaras from our interest, first of all, then you find that our efforts for self-transformation will be proportionately speedier. The more you are deeply interested, the more you are motivated, the more you like spirituality, the more is in you the enthusiasm. And therefore, to that extent, to that degree, are your efforts powerful. And therefore, more speedily you reach your goal. Therefore, have in mind, just watch, just be introvert and see whether your interests have now become completely freed from your body conscious sanskaras. Are you interested in something which was when you were in body conscious stage? Or that interest has totally been wiped off, washed off from your mind. Now the second thing which develops from this motivation or likes and dislikes or interests is tendencies. Now when I was talking of interests, they are at the conscious level. I am interested, I am not interested. But tendencies are a natural thing, something of which you may not be even aware. You may not be even conscious. They are also similar to what likes and dislikes are. Yes, towards certain things you don't have tendency. Towards other things you have tendency or inclination. But you may be aware of it, you may not be aware of it. It becomes like reflex, mental action. So, either your efforts are hindered or they are accelerated, depending upon what kind of tendencies you have. Some people would begin to come to our classes, then suddenly they would disappear from the classes for some days, maybe for some months. Then again they would come. It is because they have two kinds of tendencies and they are not aware. So the first thing is that we must try to judge, try to see, try to be aware of what kind of tendencies we have and determine it for once for all. When Bala says, are you nischaya buddhi? Have you complete faith? Now your faith will not waver if your tendencies do not waver, if your tendencies have changed, if they have now become firm. So it is at this level that our sanskaras influence, and we must remove influence of our sanskaras from our tendencies. We should no longer have any negative tendency, but we should build up positive tendencies, constructive tendencies, not destructive tendencies, not inimical tendencies, but friendly tendencies. Divine tendencies, not evil tendencies. Then another level at which the sanskaras play are our thoughts. They may be negative, they may be positive. At the unaware level, they influence our thoughts. They can be our psychological barriers, or they can be our accelerators of our efforts. If our thoughts, which are being influenced by sanskaras, if the sanskaras are negative, then there may be psychological barriers. There are things which are very clear, but we don't understand. Why don't we understand? I say, I have explained this to you, still you don't understand? And he says, no, I don't understand. What is it? Is his brain made up of some different material? You see. Or his soul is not a point of light but something different, you see. What is the reason this person does not understand? It is because of the psychological barriers. The sanskaras are playing different part, acting in a different way in different persons. So, you have to understand, otherwise you will also feel frustrated. Why is this person not understanding despite my best efforts? It's not understanding because of the sanskaras. So what kind of sanskara is playing role in the case of this person? You must identify it. And later on I will come to discuss as to how you can, you see, use different factors for changing different sanskaras. So unless and until you first of all become aware, the thing is very clear. But this person is not understanding. It is because of the sanskara. One may be a pessimist, one may be an optimist in thoughts. It is because of the sanskara. So let us understand that the sanskaras at the thought level are the determinants of our actions. Because our actions are as our thoughts are. And our thoughts are as our sanskaras are. Partly, not wholly, to an extent, to some degree, our thoughts are determined. The quality of our thoughts, the content of our thought is determined by our sanskaras. And the thoughts determine our actions. So, how can we change our behavior and action unless and until we change the sanskaras, the thoughts? And how can we completely transform the thoughts unless and until we transform the negative influence on them because of the sanskaras? So, since actions determine our future, therefore, sanskaras are partly determining our future via the thoughts, through the thoughts. By influencing our thoughts, either we are being lucky, making our fortune, or we are not making fortune. Why we are called by Baba as fortunate children? That we are lucky stars. We are fortunate. There is no one so fortunate as we are. It is because we have changed our thoughts. Therefore, we are sure that we would be lucky. We will be fortunate. Why? Because our actions determine our future. Since our thoughts are now becoming pure, our actions will be pure. And if our actions are pure, our future will naturally be bright. So therefore, Baba calls us lucky stars. You are fortunate children. You have come here to make your fortune. But each one of us is making the fortune number wise. Why? Because some of them are changing their sanskaras, others are not changing their sanskaras. And by not changing their sanskaras, they are not changing their thoughts. And by not changing their thoughts, they are not changing their actions. And by not changing their actions, they are not changing their misfortune, not becoming completely fortunate. That is the genesis of the whole thing. And the thoughts are not simply only mechanical. The thoughts may work like thorns or they work like flowers. Every thought is either like a thorn or like a flower. You cannot tell me of any thought which is neutral. A thought would either be like a thorn giving you inconvenience, discomfort, a painful feeling, some kind of a hurt, feeling of hurt, some kind of a ill feeling, or it would be working as something, having a good or soothing effect on your mind. So every thought is either like a gem or it is like a piece of stone, like a kidney stone, which is painful. So, if the nature of thought is like this, then it depends upon how our sanskaras are affecting us. Therefore, in many murlis, Baba says, children, are you becoming flowers from thorns? Why does he say flowers from thorns? Because either your thoughts are like thorns or they are like actions. They are pricking on your side, in your heart. Every thought is like this. Either it is like a fire, which is giving you a burning feeling, or it is like water, which is giving you a soothing feeling. It is either like elixir or nectar, which is giving you energy, or it is like a poison. Thoughts cannot be neutral. They are either like a poison, or like a nectar, or elixir. Now choose whatever you want to choose. Who is a sensible person who would like to drink poison rather than nectar? If you have decided that no longer you will have the tendency to get poison, but you will have elixir or nectar, then you must purify your thoughts. And in order to purify your thoughts, you must purify your sanskaras. Because as I said, on the horse is the soul, on the sense organs which are like horses, there is the rider. And on that rider is this another rider, you see, which is bridling it, the sanskara. The thoughts would either be creator or destroyer. Either they are creating your future or destroying your future. You are either making your fortune or marring your fortune. Now choose what you would. Think what you want to become. Don't think, therefore Baba says, there are some waste thoughts and there are some thoughts of fulfillment. So either they are like a treasure, they are like gems, valuable treasure, or they are destroying you. Thoughts are destroying you. Thoughts are destroying you. Thoughts are destroying you. Do we want thoughts to destroy us? If somebody comes and enters the hall with a gun pointing towards me, I will immediately run from this side to hide myself because his gun is pointing at my forehead, not at yours, you see. So, I don't want to be killed. But don't I know my thoughts are either killing me or they are either making my life worth living or making a hell of my life. So, such is the nature of thoughts. Don't think they are ordinary things. They are powerful things. Positively or negatively. And the sanskaras are influencing them. So, you must change the sanskaras. Then, the fourth thing, the sanskaras influence are our judgments. Sometimes we don't even use our sense or power of judgment, our faculty or ability of judgment. We are impulsive. One of the influences of the sanskaras may be that we are impulsive. We don't use our judgment at all. The other may be lack of clarity. This is how our sanskaras influence. We don't have clarity in our mind. What is right, what is wrong? They may cause confusion, our sanskaras. Many people will be confused. After listening to every Murli, they will say, this is not clear to me. That thing is not clear to me. There is a blurring of the mind. Like a blurred image, they have an image of everything. Or they give the prejudices, so that we can't make clear judgment. It is because our mind is prejudiced. Many people are rational, logical. They know the principles of logic, but they can't judge. Judgment-wise, they are blind. It is because their mind is prejudiced. They don't see the reason. Another thing, the other way in which our sanskaras influence us or our judgment is conditioning. Or it may be indoctrination. So let us understand that judgment is like the balance. And if the balance is not working properly, how can we have all the balances which Baba asks us to have? Of love and law. Now here we should have love or law. If I am not able to judge, how can I have the balance? The whole balance will be tilted. Because the balancing machine, which can tell me the weight of a particular idea, ideas also have weights. People don't have yet found out the measurements of ideas, but the ideas also have weights. Don't they say it is a weighty idea? There is some weight in what you say. But how much weight it is, how much kilograms, they never say. But the ideas or the thoughts do have weights, you see. So, what I was saying was, if the balance is not, is that balance, the judgment is lost, then the balances are lost. And if the balances are lost, then everything is lost. There will be moral accidents. If our judgment is influenced by our sanskaras, there will be moral accidents. Like someone is going on the road, on the highway, at a speed, and another car from the opposite side is coming. He is not able to judge properly the how much distance between the two when they will be running parallel to each other. And other things. If he does not have the proper judgment, there may be an accident, you see. Similarly, what does this person require? If I am not able to deal properly with a person, there may be clash of ideas, clash of personalities. Accident, so far our relationships are concerned. Very often at the interpersonal level, there are accidents, emotional accidents. I may be speaking something which I should not speak, but I am doing it because I lack judgment. My judgment is blurred. because of certain reasons which I mentioned. So, the judgment, in order that it may be clear, it may be perfect, has to be freed from the influence of the negative sanskaras, because it is influence, influencing it. So, up to now I have told you about four factors. The fifth one is our attitudes. These are being influenced by our sanskaras and also our outlook. You can say our spirit of being is being influenced by our sanskaras. They work like colored glasses. Why our attitudes are what they are? Partly because of our sanskaras. Like someone wears blue, light green glasses and things like of the same, look to be of the same shade. So our attitudes are being colored by those colored glasses, namely the sanskaras. We cannot see the truth, the real thing in life, unless our attitudes are changed. A person may be good, but I may be influenced by jealousy. I do not see this person as good. I am taking notice of what is bad in this person. I would say, why you are praising this person? You don't know how bad he is. You see. Why I am saying? Because my attitude toward that person is this. Why my attitude is like this? Because of jealousy. He is my rival. You know. I want to outbeat him, to outgrow him. And because of that, I want to downrate him, degrade him in the eyes of others. My speech is like this because my thoughts are like this. My thoughts are like this because my attitude is like this. My attitude is like this because I am wearing glasses, colored glasses. And those colored glasses have been given to me by the optician, namely my sanskaras, you see. Those costly glasses, precious glasses I am wearing, keeping safely so that they may not break away, I have to use them. And they are influencing my attitudes. So we are seeing things as we wish to see them, rather than what they are. We are not seeing as they are, but we are seeing them as we wish to see them. You see, it is because of our attitudes. So these attitudes and these negative sanskaras are working like the cataract in our eyes. You know, the disease called cataract. Our eyes are open. They seem to be normal. A person is standing in front of me. Who are you? I am not able to recognize. It is because of the cataract. A person has a good potentiality. He can be a good helper in Baba's service. But I don't want to see him in that way. Because otherwise he gets prominence. Perhaps more than I have. And because of this heart burning, I can't see him. I don't recognize him. I say, but who said he has this potentiality? You see. How come, how you say he has this? Who noticed it? When did he play a role like that? I say this, give my opinion like this, it is because I don't see. Why I don't see? You know, whenever we talk to somebody, we say something, and after saying something, we say, you see, you see. Didn't I tell you it will happen like this, you see? Every time I say, you see, because sometimes we do not see, you see. What we should see, we do not see. Why we do not see? Therefore we ask people. Why does, when Baba gave Murli, and after every, you see, I also say, you see. So Baba says, children, you understand? Children, you understand? Achha bache, samjhe? Do you understand? Because really we don't understand. We say we understand. If we really understood, then we would not be here. We would have attained Karmatit stage, you see. Since long he has been telling us. But there is a mental blockage which does not make us understand. Similarly, we have eyes to see. But those eyes cannot see because of the cataract. Because of the color. Which is given by our conditioning, by our indoctrination, by our bias, by our prejudices, by the way we have been thinking. And all this gives us not the reality, not the truth. We are not able to recognize it, not realize it, not understand it. So, If we have the proper attitude, then we have the proper insight. Because mind is what gives us the insight, and also the foresight, and also the hindsight. Why I am not able to see things but as they were, as they would be, and as they really are? Because I lack either insight, or foresight, or hindsight. You are driving your car, but if you don't have a mirror to see who is coming from behind, then also you are lacking in something important. We must have all these three sights: the hindsight, the foresight, and the insight. We have to become Trikaldarshi in this way also: the past, the present, and the future. The future is the foresight, the present is the insight, and the past is the hindsight. You will become Trikaldarshi if first of all your attitude is proper. And it is being influenced by the negative sanskaras, therefore wash off those sanskaras. Now the sixth being influenced by our sanskaras is our interpretation, our understanding. Whatever you say, everyone is interpreting in his own way, understanding in his own particular way, depending upon the sanskaras. So much are our thoughts being influenced by our sanskaras, that understanding of the same sentence, the same words, structured in a particular same way, are being understood differently by different people, being interpreted differently by different people. What makes the difference is our sanskaras. So why purity is required? Because we can really see things, understand things, feel things clearly and interpret them in a proper way. Take the case of the repetition of world cycle. Some people say, are the world drama, that this world drama acts in a preordained, predetermined or in whatever way. Some people say, if we have to come to the class, if it is in the drama, we will come, why you worry? You see, we ask a person, we are not seeing you in the class for so many days, why are you not coming? Brother, you should come. He says, but it seems it is not in the drama, you see. So he is interpreting drama in a different way. And on the other hand, another person comes daily to the class, he thinks the drama repeats. And if I come regularly, then next kalpa also I will come regularly, after next regularly, and so on. He sees in that light. And that gives him a... Now this same thing, the repetition of drama, the predetermination, is building different attitudes, giving us different, because it is giving different interpretations. The same thing. Therefore, we have to change this negative influence on our interpretations, our understanding. Whatever you read in Murli, try to read in a particular way, in the way Baba says it, not you understand it. You should understand the way Baba wants you to understand it. How Baba wants you to understand it, then only you can say, samjha. When Baba says, achha bache samjhe, it means the way he wants you to understand. Have you understood? Yes, literally you have understood, there is no doubt. Because you know the dictionary meaning of the words, of what Baba has said. But have you really understood the way Baba wants you to understand? That is the question when Baba says, dear children, do you understand? When he wants to ask this. And you know that misunderstanding, when I was talking of understanding and interpretation, misinterpretation and misunderstanding, it is the god and goddess of war. All the quarrels in this world is because of misunderstanding, misinterpretation. No one, when someone do not understand each other properly or misinterpret someone, they may properly interpret the wording, but they may not properly interpret the feeling behind it. Suppose I say, hey you, now someone says, hold your tongue, why you talk like this, you see. Now I am saying in a friendly way, you see, in a happy spirit, just in that sense, and he thinks that I am being arrogant, not behaving properly, you see. Maybe he is not in a proper mood today. Earlier also I was saying like this, but he never minded. He never felt. And today he is saying, why you talk like this? You see. You should be respectful to everyone. Everyone has a dignity. See, saying like this. So he understands the meaning of the words, but not the spirit behind it. The feeling in which somebody is saying something. The right understanding of the thing. Understanding works like a bridge between people. And misunderstanding causes all the trouble. It is the root cause of the major war. When you read history, people give so many factors which led to a particular war. Economic, political, social, cultural, militaristic, so on and so forth. But the basic thing underlying them all, you would find, which is being missed, is misunderstanding. There was some misunderstanding at some point between some people. Misunderstanding between personalities, clash of personalities who were at the helm of the affairs. And because of misunderstanding, misinterpreting. And this not proper understanding or misunderstanding is the mother of suspicion, which has led to cold war and hot war. You see, so many nuclear weapons were made at such huge a cost to mankind, which degraded the standard of living of billions of people in the world because of suspicion. Suspicion arising from misunderstanding, misinterpreting. And so much happened in this world. There was so much tension, so much of enmity, so much of bitter feelings, hatred because of this. Much of the negativity is therefore due to this. And this can be removed only when the sanskaras are changed. Like we say, purity is the mother of peace. Now, this misunderstanding is the mother of suspicion, I was saying. Then another thing which the sanskaras influence are our goals. What are our goals? They say all our life, all our actions, all our personality, all our behavior is goal-oriented. There is not a single human being who does not have a goal. Short-term goal, long-term goal. It may be a bad goal or a good goal. But everyone does have a goal. Some kind of an aim of life. Some kind of an object which one wants to realize in one's life. This, otherwise actions are not, just all the actions are haphazard. Unless until some person is mentally ill. You see. Every sensible person is working towards a particular goal, towards a particular end, aim. And if we have a goal, which is what body conscious people will have, another goal, which soul conscious people will have, what is making the difference is our sanskaras. Our sanskaras which make us body conscious, they give us that kind of goal, eat, drink and be merry, drink a lot of wine. And who knows, tomorrow will come, we'll survive or not. Today perhaps is the last day, tomorrow may be the doomsday. Who knows? So we think that way, in a particular, having a particular kind of goal or lifestyle, depending upon the influence of our sanskaras. Then is our approach. The eighth is our approach. Even if we have common goals, two persons may have the same goal, same objective. But their approach, their strategy, their how they decide to attain that goal, that may be different. Again, this our approach, very approach, is influenced by our sanskaras. I have to be quick because I want to finish. I'll try if I can. And then our methods and means. They are also being influenced, our modus operandi is also being influenced by our sanskaras. If we use good means or bad means, there are some people who say that means do not matter. We should have good goals, high aims. And in order to attain them, sometimes we have to adopt wrong means, doesn't matter. Because our goals are good, so far as they go. Others say, no, in order to attain good ends, we must have good means. Like Mahatma Gandhi used to say, means are as important as our goals. Now this again depends upon our sanskaras, how we want to do. Similarly, our lifestyle, our behavior, 10th factor is our lifestyle, where they are influencing us. Then 11th is our behavior, that is being influenced. Then our emotions and feelings, they are being influenced. Then our value system, the 14th is our value system, whether we are materialistic or we are socialistic or we are moralistic or we are spiritualistic, what we are, all of our value system. When Karl Marx gave his dialectical materialism or his dialectical interpretation of history, his communistic economic system, he also had a system of ethics, but that depended upon his own way of thinking, it was different. So this is also being influenced by our sanskaras. Then our relationships, whether we are humane or we are selfish, self-centered, whatever, our relationship with others are also influenced by our sanskaras and also our dreams. So much is the influence of our sanskaras that many of them who do not find expression in our daily life when we are awake at our conscious level, they appear, they manifest at the dream level. That in itself shows what kind of sanskaras we have. As we change, our dreams will change. Dreams are a sign whether we are changing, whether our sanskaras are being transformed. Do we see some kind of a violence, some kind of a hatred, some kind of a jealousy, or some other kind of a bad thing in our dreams? Then it shows those are still in us. Our sanskaras have not totally been purified. If on the other hand we have divine dreams, pure dreams, angelic dreams, that shows that our process of transformation is coming to its close, to its culmination. We are now being purified so much so that even dreams also have not a touch of negativity, of evil, of bad things. What are our thoughts, what are our actions, what kind of a person I am, its reflection is always there in our dreams. Now these are the 16 areas which are being influenced, as I said, by our sanskaras. Now what is the method of transformation? I come to this. Baba has been dwelling on this very often in the Murlis, and in one of the Murlis he said that we cannot transform ourselves. There cannot be any change, our sanskaras cannot change, unless and until we have first of all the realization. A bad thing is bad thing. This is first of all we must realize, and how bad it is, I must realize. When I realize it, then starts the process of transformation. So realization is the first. And I find from Baba's Murlis that there should be realization of 6 things, in order that there may be transformation. When I say realization, what do I mean by realization? Realization of 6 things. One is loss and gain. By changing, what will be the benefit? By not changing the sanskara, how much will be the loss? If I become golden-aged and go to golden age, how much will be the benefit? And if I don't change, what will be the loss? Whatever be the sanskara, if I don't change that sanskara, suppose someone has anger. By being angry, how he spoils his relations? How there is bitterness, there is enmity, there is bad feeling, how he cannot have meditation, so on and so forth. Any kind of sanskara, what is the loss if that sanskara is not changed? And if it is changed, what is the gain? So, if you understand it very clearly, then it means you have realized the benefit of changing it. And when it is perfectly realized, then you will find it is so easy to give it up. The whole thing becomes easy when you understand how important, how urgent, how useful it would be to change. The other is the time, realization of time. Because this change in sanskaras has to be effected, has to be accomplished within a particular time frame. The time given to us is not unlimited. In Bhakti Marg, people say the whole process of transformation takes place a number of lives. It cannot be in one life. But here Baba says, in this last phase of the last life, at the end of this kalpa, before the world destruction takes place, within this constraint of time, you have to change. You have the sanskaras of past 63 lives. And those, all the sanskaras have to be changed within this period of time. This is the time constraint. So if we just understand the enormity of the work, how much change has to be effected, to be accomplished, and how much time is left, then only we will speed up our efforts. Then only we can reach our goal of transformation. So realization of the constraint of time. Therefore Baba says time is very valuable. Time is frittering away. Children, time is slipping away. Children, very little time is left. Children, destruction is just facing us. We are near it. In so many words, in different ways, he gives us this awareness that time left is very little. And the process to be done is much more as compared to the time left. Therefore, the speed is to be done. And this realization has to be donned. Then the other is necessity or urgency. As I said, loss or gain gives us a feeling of necessity. But apart from that, we cannot have a golden aged world. Our life, this dream cannot be fulfilled. After all, we cannot have happiness and peace. And in so many ways, it is necessary, it is urgent that we must do it. We have to understand it from that perspective. Then another is to realize our identity. We are children of God. How should be children of God acting? We are not animals. If Darwin says that we have some kind of aggression, he would say it is normal. Normal because we are descendant of apes, descendants of beasts. And he would say that this animalistic tendency is natural. This is what our identity is according to him. Man is a social animal, political animal, so on and so forth. But Baba says, no, you are not animals, you are divine. Children of God, Lord Almighty. Children of one who is the perfect. Children of one who is almighty and who is ocean of peace, ocean of bliss, ocean of love. So as is worthy children, how should be you? He is therefore giving us so many titles, which remind us of our identity. If our identity of being simply a point of light, namely a soul, were enough, the first lesson would be enough within the 7 days course. If we only knew our identity that I am a soul, not a body, the whole course will be over in one day. But no, Baba has been giving us this lesson after lesson. And in every lesson, he gives us a new identity. Or you can say a new dimension of our identity, a new aspect of our identity, aspect of our personality, a new perspective of our existence. Therefore, he gives us new title everywhere. When you find Baba finishes the Avyakt Murli, at the end of all Avyakt Murli, he says, Meethe meethe, pyare pyare, sikhi lade bachon prit. To my sweet, beloved children. And after saying sweet, beloved children, he gives number of epithets, number of praising words. You can say number of titles. That my children are like this, like this, like this, like this. That gives your identity. So unless and until we know our identity, we don't feel inspired. What we are supposed to do. And we don't know our identity, then we cannot work. Therefore is the need of understanding our real identity. Not only understanding, but realizing our identity. Because our identity gives us a proper direction to our actions. And then repetition of drama. We must remember, if we put in our efforts this kalpa, we will repeat this kalpa after kalpa. So they have a recurring value. They have enormous value, infinite value. Our actions are not only for this life alone, they are for life after life, life after life. They will repeat endlessly, time without number. So there is enormous importance of our actions, because if we understand, realize this point properly, namely the repetition of world cycle, Baba does not give us any superfluous, any redundant, meaningless knowledge. Every point of knowledge which Baba has given us is very significant. And much more is this point of repetition. Children, I come kalpa after kalpa. Last kalpa also I gave you this knowledge. You came to this knowledge. This time also you have come. It is sure you will go to golden age. Why? Because your drama will repeat. If drama does not repeat, you are not going to become a golden age deity, because last time also you didn't do this. But he says, you did it, therefore you have come. And since you have come, you will go to golden age. Therefore he says, I assure you, I will carry you with me. I will not leave you behind. This is my promise. And why? Because this repeats. Therefore he knows it. He is sure of it. And therefore he wants to assure us. And we should therefore feel that if we do this action this time, we are assuring this action for times out of number. So how much is the value of our action? It's not a simple action. It is raised to the power infinity. Like any digit, any arithmetical digit, algebraic digit, number, raised to the power of infinity, how much it becomes. So our every action is raised to the power of infinity when we take this concept of repetition in our view. Then is our place in the scheme of things. Who are we? Of course, this is a part of identity. But in this identity is our role, our place. Children, you are master creators. Children, you are lawmakers. Children, you are the pillars of golden age. So on and so forth, he tells us. Now, if we are to play this important role, if such is our place in the scheme of things, in this drama of life, in this world drama, what are we supposed to do? But are our actions, are our sanskaras according to what our role is to be? If our sanskaras are a hindrance and an obstacle, we must throw them away. Because this is the role which fascinates us, which inspires us. We have to play. It's an honor, it's a privilege. It's a great luck. We are lucky, we are fortunate that this important thing has been given to us to create the golden age. We never thought people would say that we will go to paradise. Whenever anybody dies, he says such and such left for paradise or heavenly abode. How do they know whether a person went or not? But we are going, we know, because we have the explanation, we have the understanding, and we are doing our actions accordingly. But not only that, we are going to paradise, we are the creators of the paradise. Many others will go because we are creating it. So if such is the honorable role, then so should be our sanskaras. Naturally, it involves on us to change our sanskaras. Because that is what will be not, that will be a hindrance in the creation of what we visualize, what our vision is, what we want to achieve. Now, one of the factors I was saying which forms the part of the method of transformation is realization. And then I said realization of these six things. One, loss and gain. Then identity, necessity and urgency, our place, repetition in drama and time. Then another thing is, Baba said, not only this realization, the second is dritta, determination. Not only realization, but determination. You must have a strong will. Where there is will, there is way. You must have a strong will. Children, you must determine. At the beginning of the tapasya year also, he said, children, you must have a dritta. I asked Mama once, Mama, there are 36 divine qualities, major qualities, major virtues, divine qualities. Which one is the chief among them? The prime, the most important, you may say. Mama said, but everyone is most important. If we don't have humility, humility is important. We must have sweetness, sweetness is important. We must have contentment and must have introvertness. We must have purity. Every quality, every virtue is an important. But she said, out of these 36, two are the most important. I said, here, this is what I want. Mama, tell me what are those two? You see. She smiled and then she said, you can say that these divine qualities are like the bridge. She gave this kind of a comparison of qualities to a bridge for going across. For crossing this river of existence, worldly existence, on one side is the iron age, on the other side is the golden age. We require a bridge to cross. And these divine qualities are like the bridge, she said. And this bridge is being, there are two security officers, two watch persons, who are two guards, you can say, armed guards, who are protecting this bridge. They have been given the duty, because if the enemy just destroys your bridge, so what do the military people do? They have some targets. when they attack a country, their dams, you know, and their bridges, so on, their military establishments, airports, so on, radio, TV stations, they have some priorities. What should be their primal targets? Bridges being one of them. Now in this case, the enemy, the evil forces, want to destroy your bridge. Maybe of humility or contentment or whatever. They want to destroy this. And these two virtues are the protectors, security officers, or guard persons, you can say. Who are those two? Who are those two? Those two virtues. Mama said one is determination. Determination. Dridhta. Unless until you are determined to achieve all these virtues, you cannot achieve them. So the first thing is you must feel determined. Yes, you are going to have all these virtues to 16 degrees. Then, if your determination, your will becomes weak, then the bridge becomes weak. If your determination is destroyed, the bridge is destroyed. One security officer is gone. So this is the determination is one of the important, most important. And the second she says, watch yourself. Keep the chart, as Baba says. Examine yourself. Just to see whether you are progressing or not progressing. So these are the two watch persons, the determination and checking, you can say. Self-checking. We cannot keep our chart unless and until we do the self-checking, which is self-introspection. We cannot do that unless and until we are introvert. So, very often Baba has been laying emphasis on our chart. So, Mama said, determination, whether you are making progress or not, check it. Whether your bridge is alright or not, you must check it. When we pass the, you see, when we go to the airport, before we board, there is security checking. You see, they see whether we are carrying some weapon, something which is dangerous. Because things like that have been happening. So there is security check. Go in for security check. However honorable a person you may be, you must go in for security check. You see. Security is one of the important things. Similarly, for this bridge, security is important. And that security can be confirmed by checking. Whether your progress is alright, you are having strength, moving from strength to strength, and so on. So these two are, she said, important. And therefore Baba gave the second point for transformation after realization is determination. Then, there are other points. One is the Shrimat. Unless and until we follow Shrimat, which is very, very important, most important, that gives us what change means, where we have to change, how we have to change. What change has to be effected. And then, constancy, effort, first of all. Now, all these factors need to be dealt with separately, at length. What is effort, what is Shrimat, so on. But many classes have been given on these, therefore I am not dwelling at length on these. But I was saying one is Shrimat, the other is effort, without just dwelling in detail about what kind of efforts, what are really the efforts. Then constancy, because if you just make effort, then you give it up, then make an effort, then give it up, it weakens, it loses its strength. So you must make it a constant effort. Then it accelerates, it gets speed. And follow Bab Dada, become Bab Saman. In your efforts, you must keep the image of Baba before you. And try to follow him in your life. That brings transformation. And tapasya, most of all, which is the most important, tapasya. How it changes our sanskaras, again, needs to be dealt at length. Another is, keep yourself busy with positive things, with service, churning of murlis, points, and other things, positive things. Be creative. So that the negative sanskaras would not find any chance to express, to become manifest, and thereby they will lose their strength. They will die out, phase out. they will weaken. That is one of the ways you don't attend to them. Then you have to get inspiration. Inspiration is one of them. When you listen to others' experiences, what efforts they are making, how they are changing. When you have such kind of classes where people give you their story of the thing as to how they affected the change in their lives. So you get another idea. It's inspiring. But apart from this, Baba has been mentioning two others, which are not very good means, but sometimes they bring change in us. One is the circumstances. Sometimes the circumstances are such that we are compelled to change. We feel we must change, otherwise we cannot pass out of the circumstances. But Baba says, if circumstances change you, if you do not change at your own will, by your own efforts, then this gives you less marks. Because this you did not do voluntarily. You were compelled, you were forced by the circumstances. But since you have changed, you get the credit because you change ultimately. But you change under compulsion, you know. So you do not get those high class marks as you would change by your own efforts, by understanding it, realizing it. So sometimes the circumstances are such. You must behave. You must show love. You must be sweet. You don't want to be sweet on other occasions. People have been telling you to be sweet. But here is a circumstance so that if you are not sweet, then your own life is in danger. Or you may spoil your own efforts. You can't achieve what you want to achieve. So you are trying to be sweet. And by trying to be sweet a number of times, you become sweet in the process. You see. So, but that is due to the circumstances. Majburi ka naam Mahatma Gandhi hai, sometimes they say. And another thing they say is, thokar. Thokar. Baba says, thokar se kuch bachche theek honge. By accident. Sometimes we learn by accident. A driver does not learn when he is given coaching in a driving school. Sometimes he does an accident. And after that he becomes wiser. So in our life also, sometimes there are accidents. And after accident we understand the importance of something. We realize. So that also is a means which brings transformation, but it is not a good means. Therefore these two means, circumstances and thokar, Baba says. Accidents, by meeting such kind of critical things, stages, there may be some change, but it is not that, it does not give you that credit, because you change after losing something. Someone's leg is fractured because of an accident, and now he is a cautious driver. Of course, he has learnt to be cautious and to keep the speed within limits. But he has lost his leg, you know. Already there has been an accident. So it's not creditable. Now, we find that there are three means of transformation. These are the factors which we can make use in transformation. And one of these, I would say, facilitatory, which facilitate or accelerate, facilitate as a matter of fact, which facilitate our transformation. These are the positive factors. The others are the inhibitory factors. They inhibit, they stop our negative sanskaras. So one is the inhibitory, the other is the facilitatory. And the third is the transformatory. So, I would like just to mention those to you without giving details of them. And I would be able only to talk of the facilitative factors. One is love. There are 17 or 16 factors which bring transformation. One is love. The other is sympathy. The third is vairagya, pardon. First is love. Why love? When Baba says, you are my sweet, my loving children, we love Baba. Therefore, we obey Baba. Baba says, preet, preet buddhi and vipreet buddhi. Those children who love Baba and those children whose intellect is against Baba, opposing Baba. So when you love Baba, the process of transformation takes place. The more you love, the more rapid is your transformation. Baba says, the proof of love is becoming Bap Saman. If you really love Baba, then you should become Bap Saman. Otherwise, your love is not that deep, that intense. So, I was saying that love is one of the process, the factors of change. The more that love you develop for goodness, for virtue, for truth, for spirituality, for Baba, for all these things, the more is transformation. There, this is what I mean by love. But I said I am not explaining them because I have to close by, pardon? Then you will understand it in your own way. Okay, then today I just deal only. Okay, then I deal only first of all with love. You see. One is that actually the process of transformation is the transformation of love. The transformation is no transformation unless the emotion of love is changed. Because this love is becoming ignoble because of sex lust. People call it a love story, a love drama. Without knowing, this is not love, this is sex lust. This love has become deteriorated, degenerated, debased, evil. Love is a divine virtue. Love is something pure. Love is something good. Even selfishness is love. But it is left for the self. So you can't change the sanskara of selfishness unless and until you change your love, the element, the emotion of love. If this love becomes directed towards Baba, towards service, towards sacrifice, towards doing something great, to being creative, so on. If this sentiment or emotion of love is sublimated, then there is transformation. This is what is transformation is. Sigmund Freud said that everything is due to cupidity, libido, he said. The sex urge. Everything is followed by it. He made sex urge as the central point. Forgetting actually that this is what is happening in the Iron Age. Because of body consciousness. The actual thing is the love. Since that love has been colored by body consciousness, it has taken the form of libido. And this libido is now what is motivating people to bad actions. He has tried to explain all human behavior, including the dreams, in terms of libido. The sex urge, the sexual energy, you may say. But actually it is degenerate love. So this transformation of love has to take place, and this can be transformed only when you direct it to God, to Shiv Baba. And how can you direct it to God, to Shiv Baba? By transforming all your relationships. Because love finds its manifestation in the form of relationships. Between brother and sister, between mother and child, between friend and friend, between husband and wife. So love finds manifestation in these forms. Unless and until you think that all your spiritual relationships are with Baba now. Therefore Baba says, I am your child, I am your father, I am your friend, I am your companion, I am your mother, so on. If first of all you transform your love by directing it, by linking it to Baba, then all kinds of love is transformed. If even one kind of love is not directed towards Baba, that part of it remains unchanged, untransformed. You can change yourself totally when you manifest all your love through these all relationships with Baba. Then love becomes pure, transformed. When this becomes transformed, then you are, because all these complexes, all these syndromes, which even Sigmund Freud discusses, so many, and all these states of mind, melancholy, depression, so on, which the psychiatrists deal with, they are because of our this, our love having been suppressed, depressed, compressed, or whatever, you see. It has become, some people are drug addicts, others are criminals, others are having other kind of abnormal behavior, deviant behavior, because of this degeneration of love. So change your love, you are a changed person. Transform this love, you are a transformed person. And that can be done by linking your love with Shiv Baba. This is what yoga is. What is yoga? Yoga is the direction of your love or linking of your love with the Supreme Soul. If you do that meditation, it is tapasya. And by means of this tapasya takes place the transformation. We will deal with the rest, maybe if I find a time for the next class. Thank you. Om Shanti.